Pickaxe.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Friday, the 9th of March, 2012. We are One Life Left, and for the final time, we're live from GDC. Good afternoon and welcome to One Life Left. I'm Steve Curran.
I'm Simon Byron.
And I'm Anne Scantlebury.
And we are presenting One Life Left live from the show floor at GDC. It's the third time we've done this at lunchtime. And it's the final time as well, isn't it, Simon?
Yep. How are you feeling, Steve?
I'm feeling a bit drained, emotionally and physically.
We were intending, and we'll obviously introduce our guests in a second, we were intending to celebrate our last live show with this bottle of wine. Which is here. There's an actual bottle of wine. But I've been told by an official here that we're not allowed to drink it unless we are roped off.
Let's rope ourselves off.
She's going to rope us.
We could rope you off.
We could rope us off, so we'll see. So unfortunately there isn't any booze, but maybe we could drink it later.
We have a very, very special panel today. Again, rotating guests throughout the show. But our first lineup, Chris Remo from Idle Thumbs. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty well.
I roped you into this, not with an actual rope.
But, and yet we still can't drink the booze.
I know. Last night everywhere. At the party. Did you have a good time at the party last night?
I did. That was a wonderful event.
Yes. We had a good time as well, Simon, didn't we?
We did.
Tried to marry a man, the two of you.
What, we did?
Yeah,
we did.
The two of you both tried to marry
tried to get
a
married.
Man.
Yeah.
Which man?
We tried to marry...
Ian.
Oh,
oh my goodness, it was
he
Ian
didn't find
Bogost,
us funny,
wasn't
I didn't
it?
Think.
He didn't find us funny, but we found ourselves very funny.
I was drinking with Jordan Mechner.
Jordan Mechner?
Exactly, the man who made Prince of Persia. Fortunately for him, I didn't do my rotoscoping joke. So that went well.
And we have two other guests.
Yep.
Before we continue, because it's a bit rude to not introduce them at all. That wasn't me being rude, it was all of us being rude. We have two guys from Insomniac, right?
Yeah, Insomniac.
And you are Dwight and Chris.
That's correct. Yes, hello.
There we go.
Are
hello.
You having nice a lovely Game Developers Conference 2012?
Yeah, this is my first GDC ever, so...
Okay.
And I think this is my somewhere between 10th and 15th GDC.
Oh, wow. You've just smacked him down.
Totally beaten down. <Yeah. laughs>
This is my 9th, so I'm right in the middle there.
Right on, all right, perfect. Yeah.
So has it been a good one, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the social aspect of this show is definitely a really great reason to show up for it.
Yeah, it's been pretty great.
So who were you drinking with last night?
Oh, boy.
Well, you guys promised me, I know, if I came on the show, you'd set up a thing with Lara Pulver, you know, from Sherlock.
Now, did we? So did we meet you last night? That was a question
that we
could remember. Did we? So where were you last night?
There was two parties going on last night.
Right.
Right.
So they were where we were.
The one with the band playing and stuff like that.
No, that, so okay. That wasn't
that
a party.
Was
we
that the Microsoft
there.
Party?
Yes,
Microsoft,
yeah. The AC/DC girl cover band.
Okay, how were they?
It was very loud.
Loud.
Right.
We were guessing like 130 decibels. Like.
Wow.
Whoa.
So you went there, and then where did you go afterwards?
Can we say?
Was it the secret party?
Yeah, it was a secret.
Right, we were all wearing the wristbands,
oh, so
right?
We didn't get bands like that.
We were not.
Did you know? You broke into the secret party.
Oh. No, we had wristbands, but not those wristbands.
Oh.
Oh.
The next level secret party.
Were yours better or worse than ours?
It's different secrets. I don't know.
So what rooms were you allowed in, if there were rooms at this party?
We were allowed in the underground rooms and the above ground rooms. We had a multi-story secret.
Oh, that was Microsoft one, right?
Microsoft was multi-level.
Okay.
Our secret party was just one.
Yeah.
One room.
High up. A high up room, wasn't it?
It made us feel high up. Yeah. But, you know.
I don't think this was not the same.
No,
place.
You weren't at this party.
No.
Sorry.
See, we
guys.
Didn't meet.
No, well, exactly.
So, where's Lara?
She'll be here later.
Okay.
Also joined by Martin Hollis in the background, as we have been
every
day. Bringing
up some chairs.
Martin, are you just going to have lunch over there? Is that your game? Because that's what you did yesterday. You were meant to come on the show and actually just ate lunch at the end of the table.
I was meant to come on the show yesterday.
Well, you were always meant to come on the show. You're part of the show.
Okay. I was part of the show yesterday.
So when we last spoke to you on air, you were off to target teenage girls.
Oh, I dimly remember that.
How's that gone in the last 24 hours? How many teenage girls have you targeted?
It's not really a GDC thing, you know. Tim Rogers did ask me about that after the show, though.
Right.
What did he say? Yeah, I don't think I can repeat that.
No, you can't, Martin. Chris.
Yes.
This is the final day of GDC.
It is that.
And so it's a time for reflection and to see whether we've... I mean, we set out with some goals, didn't we? And what were those goals?
Those goals were?
Pole dance with a game industry luminary.
Achieved.
Excellent.
Did that first night. That was easy.
Honey trap someone.
There's a picture of us, of Steve and I, on the internet of us apparently trying to honey trap someone last night.
Simon moonwalked over to a girl.
She walked
very,
away.
Very subtly.
Walked or ran?
Basically ran. Create a new genre.
Did that yesterday.
Do you know what it is? Wow. Burying games.
Mining
games, big deal.
Here and yeah.
The burying genre. Blowing up at GDC 13.
Well, then you can release the digging expansion.
Exactly.
We
thought of that.
DLC.
You're going to bury corpses from first-person shooter games.
Awesome. Someone has to clean all that mess up.
Exactly. So every time someone dies in a first-person game, they will appear in ours, and you'll have to bury them.
Excellent.
And then what else?
I can't remember any of the previous ones. Get free stuff.
So a new one yesterday was achieve a BlackBerry playbook. We only got three BlackBerry playbooks. They're the world's first professional-grade tablets, don't you know? And they're our tablet of choice.
Wow. One Life Left, sponsored by BlackBerry. So, Chris, that was before I went off on one about what we tried to achieve and did successfully achieve at GDC. Have you achieved everything you wanted to do?
Well, honestly, I would say that coming up on about nearly a decade of GDCs now, this GDC I expressly intended not to set goals for my GDC. I just wanted to experience the GDC.
But isn't that a goal in and of itself?
It is.
So you achieved it.
I did achieve my goal, my goalless goal.
No, wait. You didn't. By setting the goal,
no,
you
it's
blew
true.
It.
Actually, if we discuss this any longer, I will, in fact, explode. So,
what about you guys? Did you have any targets?
We came out. Our intention was to speak at the show, so we did a talk about
goal achieved.
Well yes. Done, congratulations. So, what was your talk about?
It was how we look at practical audio after going to Disneyland and apply it to our game. So it was kind of fun.
So you guys make Ratchet and Clank
and Resistance.
And Resistance.
Right, and Resistance. Yes. Yeah. So what did you learn from Disneyland then?
Sort of like we went through the Pirates of the Caribbean ride
five times in a row.
Yeah.
For work purposes.
Oh,
for
of
work.
Course, yeah. Yeah, five times in a row, right? So we go through there, and the way they set up their sound and different areas of the ride, we sort of applied that to Resistance and took that same kind of approach, right?
There's something I've found always really interesting as well about Disneyland with respect to video games. In the structure of the park itself, the way that they lay out where the attractions are relative to one another and what the experience is like as you're walking in between the rides, there's something I think a lot of lessons there for video game worlds, not just in sort of the sensory experience you describe within the really concentrated experience of a ride, but everything that links them all together and keeps the park itself a coherent, interesting experience, even though there's such a diversity of content, I suppose.
They've established such a great universe, right?
Yeah.
That once you enter it, you're totally immersed in it.
Yeah.
Also, they have loads of ropes, don't they?
They have a lot of ropes.
So they could drink there.
Tons of drinking.
Rope themselves off.
Interesting, interesting. Martin, have you achieved everything you wanted to at GDC?
I wanted to give a talk on Tuesday, and I achieved that. So, yes, everything else is just gravy. So I'm feeling pretty good about it.
And how's your liver?
I'm still alive.
One live left on Resonance 104.4 FM. Slightly more hoarse than we were on a couple of days ago.
We did a lot of shouting last night.
We didn't do any karaoke, though.
No, let's do that today.
So, yesterday's GDC went well, I think. What did you guys do yesterday, specifically? Did you see any sessions? Meet any people?
Well, our computer decided to destroy itself in our rehearsal in the morning, so we spent the rest of the morning trying to acquire a backup computer that shot all of our talks we wanted to see yesterday morning. So
you didn't get to see any at all yesterday?
I don't think we actually ended up seeing any talks yesterday, unfortunately.
So who did we miss then? David Cage did something yesterday, didn't he, apparently? What did he do? Does anybody know? No?
Oh, no.
David Cage, all he wants to do is just be hurt. and then just a very Gallic shrug of the shoulders.
Oh, well.
It's... Do you have any plans to see any sessions today?
There is one or two we want to see this afternoon, possibly. They're escaping me the names at the moment, but yeah, before we head back to Burbank.
But we fly back this evening.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty early.
So this is your first GDC. How's it compared to what you thought before you arrived? Did you expect to see more things for a start?
Yeah, actually, Tuesday night I made this giant list of all these talks I wanted to go see, and I've gone to maybe three of them.
Wow.
Do you think it's a mistake to make a big list of talks you want to go and see and things like that, with our achievements? Because then you just end up so disappointed.
I agree, and I feel I have plenty of empirical evidence to support that at this point. This is the first year I didn't, as I was saying earlier, I didn't look at the schedule in advance of arriving on the show floor on any given day. I mean, I didn't look at a single talk description until the actual day, and I'm saying, all right, what am I going to next? And it meant that I didn't find myself in those situations where weeks before I even got to GDC, I'm already deciding between three different things in the same session, and then if someone wants to meet that session, suddenly now I can't go to it anymore, and it's this big loss. Whereas now I look at the schedule every couple hours, and I say, oh, is there anything interesting coming up? If there is, I go. If I go, I don't. I haven't built anything up to any great degree. I haven't scheduled myself thin. It's been really relaxing, and I think I've appreciated the ones I've attended more.
It's also good just to get some hints from other people that are around, right?
Definitely,
so if
absolutely.
Someone says, this is amazing, you should go and see this, or go and play this game that's over there,
That's
kind of what you want to do, right?
Definitely.
We've got a new guest who's just rolled up. Very, very briefly, you're going to tell us about your amazing new game, because you approached us yesterday after the show, and we got so excited. So you're going to have to explain it to all of us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome.
You guys are based in London, is that right?
We are in London.
Oh, I'm very fond of your country.
Oh,
you sorry know. About the revolution.
Oh, it's tight. No biggie.
I'm from Boston.
It's all right.
I ran off there because I saw somebody walking past. They're going to come on the show shortly. Very, very special guest.
Sure.
So, I liked you because you bumbled up to us yesterday.
Bumbled?
You were the second...
Very English word.
Sure, I feel bumbly.
You were the second person that did it. So, you didn't know this, but the day before, a couple came up to me and they sort of looked at the sign. They went, hi, we're on honeymoon. But we've got a really good idea for an app. And I was like, okay. And they went, well, you know, so could you introduce us to someone who's going to make this app? And I went, so I thought, oh, God, you're weird, right? Like, congratulations for being on Honeymoon. GDC is amazing, obviously, but I can think of more romantic places to go, like Denny's, for example. Sure. So he said, right, so, and he just looked at me and said, you know, we've come all this way. Can you introduce me to somebody to make this happen? I was like, what sort of app is it? And he said, well, there isn't anything out there at the moment. He said, but it's going to cost $60. And I thought, like,
that's a great start.
You've not heard of freemium, I thought. So anyway, I sort of very swiftly tried to back my way out of this conversation by going,
naturally.
Yeah, I'm busy, actually. I need to go and just stand elsewhere for a bit. So when you came up to us yesterday, I thought, oh, God, here we go again.
This is like my parents' ideas for apps.
Right.
How about we make something where you can look at the internet? It will be good. We'll charge $10 for something that saves your favorite web page.
Exactly. So you came up all enthusiastic and you went, hey, can I tell you about my game? And I was like, oh, God. But it was brilliant.
Yeah, so
we invite you back. Yeah, thank you for coming.
If I may, I'd like to announce that this game is live as of 5 a.m. this morning. After
exclusive.
An all-nighter because you were having me on the show. We had 12 of my friends over. We got a lot of Starbucks double shots and just went all night. So to tell you about what it is, it's called Kanye Zone. It's on kanyezone.com. And I don't know how to describe it. Frankly, it kind of pushes the boundaries of language. It's such an immersive and wonderful interactive experience. But so, as you guys may or may not know, the rapper Kanye West has a hot track on the radio right now that all the kids are listening to. And, you know, it starts off kind of like it always does with him, where, you know, for the first half of the track, he's just running circles around other MCs, you know. But by the end, he's just like kind of inexplicably chanting at you, don't let me get my zone, don't let me get my zone, don't let me get my zone. And like, it's kind of tense. You're like, you know, why not? What would the consequences be if I were to let you get in there? And also, is that like a state of being, or is it a geometric place that I can't let you get the zone? Like, where is it? Is it a lawless place at sea or something? So this was really eating away at my roommate Steven and I, and we started thinking this needs to be explored in a deeply immersive game environment. So we came up with Kanye Zone. We've been game developers for about 2 weeks, I would say. And so kanyezone.com, you have a little purple circle in the middle of your screen that's labeled Zone, and then Kanye West's disembodied head is sort of bouncing around with all the physics of a game written by a six-year-old in the 80s. And your job as a player is to block him with a little blue bumper and keep him out of the zone. And the whole time he's yelling at you over and over, don't let me get my zone, don't let me get my zone. And so I'm really proud of that because, like, there are very few games where the object of gameplay is constantly yelling the objective at you. Like the whole time.
I have a question about Kanye's Zone.
Yes.
Do you think, and I don't know if there's authorial intent here or if you intended this to remain a bit more ambiguous, but
sure.
Do you think Kanye himself intends to reach the zone, or do you think he's just subject to forces acting?
I'm really happy you asked. We discussed this at length.
Okay, good.
And so what I think it is that ultimately he wants to get in his zone,
yeah.
Because he's gonna. That's when he's wrapping his pants off,
sure.
And like things are going really well for him.
Oh, yeah.
But I think really he's sort of warning us as a community, as a society.
He
don't let me get in.
Go down when that happens.
Because once I get in, I'm just going to be such a dominant force on the mic that it's just not going to be good for anyone, especially other rappers out there.
Right.
Wait, so
right.
Is there a boss fight?
Well, in a way, the zone is kind of a pretty formidable enemy. Every couple Kanyes that you hit, the zone expands, which makes it pretty stressful. It's also important that every second that you survive, you're getting more and more cash, and like earning fat stacks, just like more and more money. And
can you tell us a little bit more about the visual design of the zone?
Yes. Oh, I'd love to. That's my bread and butter. So, so it started off as a game that my roommate implemented, where there was a blue circle. It's bear with me here.
Okay.
And a pink circle. Two circles. And Kanye's head.
Two zones.
And so I took it to the next level. I added some gold text and a nice floral background to like, very dignified
black and gray and what have you. And it really pimped it out. I mean, it looks kind of like a like an over-the-top garish porn site or something, but none of that, you know, right? It's just good old fun for the whole family. And I mean, this appeals to...
Do you have Kanye Zone.xxx?
Oh, we're thinking about it. We have Kanye Dash Zone.
Is that a different game, though?
Yeah. Well, but it's interesting you ask about the zone in particular, because it's so enigmatic as a shape. And everything on the page is very elaborate and, like, I don't know, shiny. But the zone, very intentionally... is a boring little circle that looks like a Venn diagram that you do in grade school that just says zone. Because we want to emphasize, it is very geometric. Like, this is his zone, and you can't let him get into it. Like if he gets in it, it's all over. Like,
so is the sequel going to be... what will that be?
So it's off the album World. Watch the Throne. So I have some ideas. We're thinking maybe one where you're Kanye, and the throne is bouncing all around the screen, because we got the bounce code, right? We could just reuse it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to, like, direct Kanye's eyes at the throne, and then you find out, well, how good of a job am I doing at watching the throne?
Right. We haven't even introduced you properly.
Oh, please. My name's Michael Fredrickson.
And you're not a game developer, are you? Why did you choose to make a game about this if you're not a game developer?
Well, as I said, you know, he chants this a lot, and it really gets stuck in your head, and it just started to really eat away at me at night. My roommate as well. We were just thinking about it all the time. What would happen if we let him in the zone? And we thought, you know, we should explore
games sort of the only way the
game
you,
with the game community.
You could do that.
There's a line in the song actually where, what's the language policy on this podcast?
We go out at 7 p.m. in England. We're
pretty clean.
We used to go out at 9 p.m. and then we were allowed one swear.
I can self-censor. Okay. So Jay-Z has this line where he's like, "What's 50 grand to a mother like me? Can you please remind me?" Right? And so because of that, he's obviously implying, "Well, I am such a lavish and extravagant man." That 50 grand is nothing to me. So you'll notice as a player that when you start the game at zero, you already have $50,000. Right.
That's great. So where can we play it? Just remind us.
Oh, KanyeZone.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it was a blast. Thanks for having me.
One Life Left, live at GDC. The chatter you can hear in the background is us rearranging our guests, reconfiguring the world. And I am going to have to tell Martin Hollis off.
Martin,
someone's sitting there.
Conduct your business elsewhere.
Goodness me. Wrangling game developers. I remember we were talking... Do you remember when we were talking to Pearl, one of our organisers last night, and she said she had a hard time describing what it is she does, because she sort of manages the human aspect and tries to guide game developers to the right place. But she says the easiest way of saying it is she's just the mama bear of it. Because these people do need, you know, a little bit of shouting at, a little bit of cuddling, a lot of honey. Darius.
Hi. By Darius, welcome. How are you?
I'm surprisingly conscious.
What were you up to yesterday?
Oh, yesterday. It's Friday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Yes, I went to a lot of sessions yesterday, actually. Normally, I don't go to sessions at GDC because I've been to so many. It's just a constant family reunion type of thing.
Uh-huh.
But yesterday, I went to some talks, and they were good talks. And
So who did you see?
Oh, gosh. Don't quote me on this, but I think Eric Zimmerman spoke yesterday. Maybe that was Wednesday. Yeah. I don't know. I liked his talk on aesthetics. Let's see. What else did I do? I had some nice breakfasts and lunches, Michael, and that sort of thing. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
So, Darius, you should explain to our listeners what you do.
Okay, let's see. I work at Boku. It's an HTML5 games company. Actually, it's a web company, and I handle the games work. And I also do a lot of International Game Developers Association type of work as well, so I'm on the board of directors for that, and I help devs help each other, pretty much.
We bumped into Jason Della Rocca last. I hadn't seen him for a while.
Yes, yeah, Jason's still running the Montreal chapter. Jason is...
I think we need chapters.
We do need chapters. Well,
yeah, I'll start a Boston chapter for you guys.
Okay,
yeah.
You've got that covered. Where are you going to start a chapter?
Burbank.
Burbank chapter. Okay.
Great. Yeah, let's definitely get a Vegas chapter.
Vegas.
We're also joined by Joe McDonough. Joe, welcome.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
So I've not seen you for years.
No.
And I bumped into you last night.
Indeed.
So where are you now?
Simon Popcap.
You're the... You've got a very cool job title.
I've got a fancy sounding title.
Go on.
Franchise director for Peggle.
For Peggle. Kind of the man who does Peggle.
Man in charge of unicorns and rainbows.
Excellent.
My job.
How's that going?
Well, it's tough. It's tough.
Is it?
You know those unicorns, man.
Right.
Pretty tough bunch.
It's good.
I love it. What is there not to love about it, right?
Yeah.
I feel very lucky.
Have you been, you've been having a good GDC?
I've had a great GDC because I stopped drinking. So it's a really completely different experience.
So you're actually teetotal?
I am.
God, we must have been awful last night. We must have been insufferable. And you laughing implies that we were.
you were jolly.
Did I moonwalk over to you at any point?
There may have been some gratuitous moonwalking involved.
We need to apologise for...
I'm doubly sorry. It was so nice to see you, but now I wish I hadn't. So, yeah, apart from the not... So you've seen a very different side to GDC then, a more sober side.
Well, I've actually done some work this time, which
is rather unusual. We've had meetings.
You're not.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been good?
Yeah, awesome.
Great.
I mean, it's a lot of networking. You get to meet a lot of cool people and see some things you haven't seen for a while. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good show.
So as the sober... Like, you must have been pretty much the only sober person there last night. What behaviour did you observe that you shouldn't talk about, but you're about to tell us? Who behaved poorly?
And not us.
I think you might have... Well, I don't know if I should admit this online, but there may be some inappropriate chatting last night, Simon.
Some inappropriate what?
Touching.
Was there?
I feel closer to you today.
Did we go to Denny's?
Oh, he's blushing.
I'm very proud of my accent. You're a handsome guy.
I didn't know you felt this way about me after all these years, but hey.
Well, there we go.
We shouldn't keep you too much longer because you've suffered us for the first 30 minutes already.
Oh, it's been great.
But is there any single piece of advice? Because as a GDC veteran and a GDC newbie, is there any single piece of advice you can give to people going to a big games conference like this?
If you're in this industry, this is the show you have to go to. It really is.
Yeah, I think, and then not making big giant lists, I think, really, for noobs.
And any advice about the parties?
Try to get in early. Rub shoulders with the big companies. Microsoft.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Yes, definitely.
It depends. Leave the unicorns alone.
And go to Denny's.
One life left at GDC. At GDC for the final time. Simon's making small talk with Joe McDonough, who's going. The Insomniac boys have left us as well. Everyone leaves, don't they? Everyone leaves in the end.
One leaves, another arrives. Jonathan Blow.
Well, hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm just in a weird mood. These conferences just freak me out.
Why?
There's just a lot of people here, and they're all weird.
Welcome. He's talking about me.
This is a safe space, though, so I feel like you can really relax here. You can just take it down a notch. We're all friends, okay?
We're all friends. This is completely off the record.
I know some of these people.
Just don't worry about anything, Jonathan. No one's gonna hear this apart from our one fan, who has also joined us.
Hello.
The only person who gets a round of applause, I guess, is our fan. So, Ian, we just wanted to bring you in to find out whether we're everything you expected.
I think so.
Is that good?
No.
Well, did you expect to be disappointed?
No, I didn't expect to be disappointed.
Are we bigger than you'd imagined in real life?
I think so.
That's maybe because we're standing too close to you. Has there been inappropriate touching?
A little bit.
All the time.
So, besides coming on the radio show, what have you been doing out here, Ian?
I've just been going around and seeing the show. Mostly just showing off the game that my little three-person studio has been working on. So,
which is?
We're sort of getting into the Games for Good space, so we've been working with the Indianapolis Zoo on a game to help them raise money to save the Amur tigers in Far East Russia. So,
will it be available on BlackBerry Playbook, which is our current choice of format? If there's one tablet that's for professionals, it's the BlackBerry Playbook.
It's a flash game on Facebook, so...
That has the word book in it.
I think you can.
Yeah. So,
Jonathan, what's the best thing you've seen at GDC apart from us?
I had my answer ready, and I haven't really seen very much, actually. There's a movie that's pretty good here, I heard.
Yeah, how's that going?
So tell us about this movie.
The movie's done.
Yeah, so how's the reception to it? It won a couple of awards.
What is the movie? Guys, dial it back.
Okay.
No one knows what the movie is yet.
Sorry. Well, there's a movie, and it has people in it.
It's Indie Game, the movie, right?
Yeah.
And you're featured, and who else is in it?
So the movie is actually mostly about Team Meat, the guys who made Super Meat Boy, and Phil Fish and the other members of Polytron who made the game Fez. And I'm in it a little bit at the beginning and the end as somebody who already made a video game, Simon Byron's favorite video game.
That's right. We made friends last year, Jonathan, didn't we? At the secret party. I recall.
That's friends.
Really? Yeah. We have unfinished business. So who's...
Do you want to punch him in the face?
Exactly.
I can set that up. You can just punch him right in the face.
So
I can't read.
That's deliberate. That's why you're sat there. Who plays you in the movie?
I believe that I play me.
Right.
Yes.
It's good casting.
It's non-fiction.
How do you feel watching yourself on the big screen?
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've had some practice because, you know, I come to conferences like this all the time and do lectures, and sometimes those get videoed and then I get insulted by people all over the internet. Mm. So I've sort of had a ramp into this. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's Phil Fish's performance like?
Kind of like Meryl Streep, I think.
Really? In the Iron Lady?
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe more like Sophie's Choice. Something like that.
Anne had an incident with Phil Fish 2 nights ago.
Really?
Is
that featured in the movie?
I hope so.
Does Anne appear?
I don't recall it, but they're going to have a lot of DVD special features.
Yeah, well,
so there's lots of things I don't know.
If they want to have a DVD special feature of me pushing Phil Fish over, then that is fine, because that happened.
So all the way over? On the ground?
So I crouched behind him, and one of our friends pushed him, and he went backwards.
What physics engine did you use?
Actual physics.
Jonathan, how's your game going?
It's going really well.
Have you finished it yet?
Just a few weeks ago, I finished the gameplay part, so I built the ending for the game, and it was sort of...
How does it end?
My favorite thing I've ever designed, actually. You do some things...
Okay.
...successfully, and then game over happens.
Exclusive.
It does end.
It does end.
You heard it here
Okay.
first.
Yes. Will I like it?
It will be even better than your prior favorite game. It'll be your new favorite game.
Darius, are you making anything amazing at the moment?
Oh, I made a bunch of games for the Pirate Cart at the GDC Pirate Cart.
Tell us about the Pirate Cart.
The Pirate Cart they did the IGF Pirate Cart. It's when a bunch of people kind of get together. It's through this website, glorioustrainwrecks.com. And you make a weird little throwaway game, usually making however you like. I mean, you could code it in assembly if you wanted to, but most people use Click and Play or Game Maker or things like that. And it's usually games that are made in about an hour or two. And they sort of, sometimes they're jokes, sometimes they're weird little experiments, sometimes they're completely broken attempts at creating a game. But the point is that to show that kind of anyone can make a game. It's as natural an activity as sketching in a notebook or something, right? You can. These are kind of the equivalents of the note, how you'd like make a little comic book in the back of your textbook as a kid or something, right? And to show that you can do that not just with a board game but even with a video game.
And anyone can get this Pirate Cart.
Yeah, you can go to piratecart.com and grab it. And there was also a booth here, so. Yeah, I got together with a few friends a couple weeks ago and cranked out three games in 5 hours, and they were mostly weird games about philosophy.
You see, Jonathan, if he can do it, why can't you?
Yeah, I've got a lot to learn.
I did not finish my game. Not in the capital F sense of finish.
Right. Well, neither have I, so there we go.
How many games are on the Pirate Cart?
Last I checked, they're still accepting submissions. So yesterday at midday, it was something like 920. They may have broken 1,000 by now. I don't know.
So could we get our Berium up there still? We invented a new genre.
Oh, yeah. Let's tell Jonathan about it. We invented a genre. I know. It's not a big deal, probably to you, you just knock them out every day. But to us, this was one of our tasks for GDC. So you know how mining games, very popular, bit played out.
What's the opposite of mining?
Unmining.
Yes. Building a mountain?
Also known as burying.
Burying.
Oh. Right?
Right?
Okay. I thought when you said bury him up that you meant barium, the element in the periodic table of elements.
Whoa!
I was getting very excited about this.
Which we can call it.
That
which
man knows so many things. It's incredible. He thought you meant barium.
He
That's such
I
a
was
natural leap.
I wish. I've only just heard of a barium.
or I thought you said,
because you're British, I thought you said, like, herbarium.
Ah.
Is this a dangerous element? Can we get some?
I think it's an inert gas, isn't it? I don't actually know.
It was one of the early radiation, one of the things that damaged Marie Curie, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of the inert gases. Because that's what xenon, radon...
Let's have a competition.
Argon,
atomic number for barium.
The reason I ask is I'm thinking about the collector's edition of our games.
Yeah.
We could put it in a barium case.
Ship it with a poisonous gas.
That's the Kickstarter. That's the little extra for the people who put in 500.
Where is Cindy?
The barium mode.
So we're still at GDC, but we're only GDC for another 20 minutes or so. Better make the most of it.
We're just trying to Jonathan off that. So, Indie Game the Movie, when are we going to be able to see that?
Well, I don't exactly know. Always the best source for information is their website, indiegamethemovie.com, but it's my understanding that right now they're doing a limited run of the movie. They're doing a sponsorship with Adobe You know, it's not like traditional movie distribution.
Right.
So they're doing limited engagements in cities, I think mostly in the U.S., but the first several of those have all sold out completely, so I think they may be adding some. I don't know. So I imagine they'll announce on Twitter and they'll post on the website.
I'd quite like to see it in the cinema with you, watching you. Let's make that happen.
You're just going to stare at... I have a friend, when I don't go to movies with him anymore, because whenever I do, he just stares at the side of my head to see if I'm, like, laughing at whatever the joke was. It's really obnoxious. Yeah.
So, new panel rotation.
Hello.
Loads more guests.
Loads more.
Simon Parkin.
Hello.
How are you feeling today?
You know, not great.
Did we disgrace ourselves last night?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
I got over it.
Good. Brandon Sheffield.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm quite fine, I would say.
Are you feeling the stress of GDC?
I'm feeling the Friday stress of GDC, which mm-hmm. is the kind of simultaneous build-up and letdown of being at the end of a thing that was really exciting, but I didn't do all the stuff that I actually needed to do.
Did we see you last night?
We did.
Did we disgrace ourselves?
Most of the time I was watching Julian Egebrecht play Super Turrican, which he made 20 years ago, and it was fantastic.
Wow!
Yes. We forced him to play it on Super Nintendo and give us director's commentary and be like, oh, up here in this corner, I know I put something here, but I can't find it right now. And trying to find all the secrets, and he played the first level like a robot, just destroying everything. It was really, amazing. Really amazing.
Amazing. And Elliot Trinidad.
Hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So you have come to show us or talk to us about something special, haven't you?
Yeah, we have this game that we brought to GDC. Interestingly, like it's a game that kind of was conceived at GDC. It's something that we thought of at last year's GDC.
Was this in the bathroom of Denny's?
What is that hardware you're showing?
This is a tablet.
Samsung Slate.
Okay. Is that better? It's not as good as a BlackBerry Playbook, is it?
I don't even know.
Okay. I don't think there's anything as good as a BlackBerry Playbook.
It's pretty fantastic, actually.
It runs Windows 8.
Yeah.
So tell us about the game.
Gosh, it's a very physical party game that is played with a large custom controller that we've made.
Okay, and I can see that custom controller
from
here.
Yeah, it's got these big poppy, colorful buttons.
Yeah, if you've ever seen is it called Poppin'
Music?
Poppin' Music,
that's right.
Controller.
Right.
It's sort of, this is a bigger version of that. It's a big, big black rectangle with various huge circular buttons to hit.
Yes, buttons are very circular.
So, they are circular.
But yeah, it's a really big controller that's tactile and fun to press, and the game can be played on really any kind of controller, but the idea is that four players are kind of fighting each other as these kind of like idiosyncratic, like this Korean chew and psychedelic mushroom and snot nose.
So things pop
out. Each one representing a player, and each player has to protect their own character wherever it pops up, and while hitting all the other ones.
Right, I see. So it's kind of like a whack-a-mole.
It is it's like a multiplayer whack-a-mole. But
okay.
Things are just popping up all the time, and I mean, the real dynamic comes in the fact that you have these 9 big buttons, you have 4 people crowding around it, and you have 2 hands.
Yes.
And you can just can't, like, you just get shoved all over the place.
And you're trying to stop someone whacking yours while whacking everyone else's.
Yeah, okay. And there would be a lot of whacking.
Yes, which we like. Apparently Joe McDonough doesn't like it quite as much. So you're going to be showing this off where?
Everywhere. We've been kind of like guerrilla demoing this at GDC.
Okay.
Like last night, we kind of almost took over a 5-star hotel's TV screen, and we were like, we're gonna get kicked out, aren't we? But no, we didn't.
Amazing.
No, we're just we have it on this. I don't know. We're lucky enough to have the game visible on a really mobile platform, really mobile screen, and we can just kind of take it anywhere.
Cool. Where are you taking it now?
Today we're taking it to experimental game sessions.
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
That's where people show sort of new forms of play, right?
Exactly. People just show things they've been playing around with.
Awesome. That sounds really exciting. Well, thank you so much for showing us that.
Yeah, thank you.
Brandon.
Yes, sir.
What's the best thing you've seen at GDC, apart from your Turrican anecdotes?
Well, that was absolutely the best thing.
Second best.
That I saw. Second best, I guess that would be, I really enjoyed David Serlin's MicroTalk.
Okay.
He spoke about time and how time pressure has a different kind of tactical engagement for people. And when you use your subconscious mind, I mean, unconscious, subconscious, whatever, to make quick decisions, you can actually do better than when you're trying to make slow, methodical decisions in certain kinds of scenarios. So I was thinking about how this might apply to, say, a role-playing game instead of a fighting game, where what if you had time pressure when you have to kind of level up and choose your jobs and skill systems and distribution of experience points and things like that. What if you had to do that in 5 seconds? How would that change the dynamic of a role-playing game? So that's that was kind of my reaction to his talk, and so that was, I think that was one of my favorite.
Maybe
things.
You can do a response micro talk next year with those thoughts.
Yes, maybe I can.
Simon, what's the best thing you've seen at GDC?
I popped along to Dan Cook from Spry Fox's talk about how not to clone video games. And it was brilliant. He was really good. So he made two of my favourite web-based games, Triple Town and Realm of the Mad God, which came out recently, which you should go and play. And he was just saying, kind of, it was a call to arms, I think, for developers and designers in the audience to become, strive to be inventors rather than copycats. And, you know, Spry Fox is currently embroiled in a legal battle, I think, with a clone. So it was interesting from that point of view, because that's going on in his professional life.
He was on the show the other day, and he said he couldn't talk about it. But presumably he was saving that for you.
It's going really badly for him.
They've got three holes in their defence. One, no, I can't.
So, sorry.
I think I'm done.
All very exciting. I think I said yesterday on the show that if I could use one word to sum up my experience at GDC, it would be overstimulating.
Exactly what's happened now. We've just been joined by our final guests of our final show. And I think it's fair to say, without dismissing anybody that's gone before him, we have saved the best of luck. Steve Jackson.
Hello, Steve Jackson. A round of applause.
Good to be here. So, good
Steve,
to be here.
Most famous for being the co-author of the Fighting Fantasy game.
Yeah, co-author of Fighting Fantasy, and we co-founded Games Workshop, so Ian
excellent.
And I have been long-standing partners.
Brilliant. We bumped into Ian a couple of days ago.
He has put on a bit of weight. It's difficult to avoid it.
He was proudly,
I hope he's not listening to this.
He was proudly displaying the Chinese version of Warlock of Fire Top Mountain.
Ah, yeah, we've just... It's amazing.
It's, you know, just
this,
come out.
This series has been going for 30th anniversary this year.
He said, yeah.
And this is in times of everything's digital.
Yeah.
And there are these books and printed pages, and they're still going.
It's astonishing.
And there's two publishers in China that have both taken up the rights within the last
Brilliant.
3 months.
So it's published now. Have you got any idea how they're getting on with it in China?
I see. No, that's only just come out.
Okay.
I got that 2 days before GDC. Ian hadn't seen it, so I put it in a bag to bring it over.
So nice to see him beaming. Like, it's a sort of different cover. He's like, this has just come out.
Yeah.
I'd say 30 years. And I guess then 30 years ago, you had no idea that... It'd still be doing, people would still be excited about
it. You know, the
it.
Whole thing started off as nothing to do with interactive, you know, game book experience or anything like that. It was supposed to be a how-to-do-it guide to role-playing games.
Really?
This is how you play Dungeons & Dragons, this is where the shops are, these are the other games. That's how it all started off.
Wow.
And when we started thinking about it, it was, oh, hold on, that sounds a bit dull, doesn't it? How about doing something interactive and the whole thing? It was going to be the first book, which is called The Magic Quest, as a working title. Right. It was a great imagination there, wasn't it? Yeah.
Amazing.
It was supposed to be mainly a graphic book, but that was too expensive to produce,
right.
So we had to do a lot more writing.
Brilliant. And he was saying that what's happening now is that you've got people who are my age who bought Warlock of Firetop Mountain and the subsequent books in the series, and now they're sort of passing them on to their children. He says that sort of explains.
Yeah, no, it's transcended the generation,
yeah,
really.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what brings you to GDC, to the Game Developer Conference?
Well, these days I teach. I'm a professor, no less, at Brunel University of Game Design, and I run a master's level course on getting into the industry, basically, as a designer. Not technical, because I've never been a technical person, but it's been doing very well, actually. It's been going for 5 years.
Wow.
And now we've got the MA course, and there's an undergraduate course as well, so we've got about 100 students now, so
Right. Very
pleased with that. And I come over here every year just to keep my eye in, really, keep my fingers on the pulse.
So what have you seen this year?
What have I seen? I've seen so many things this year. But I'll tell you one I saw recently, it was a couple of hours ago, was called Asynchronous Turn-Based Games, The Future.
Right.
And I had to say, what on earth are asynchronous turn-based games? But being turn-based, you know, it's a little bit of history there. So, and it turns out that the difference between asynchronous turn-based games and turn-based games is that turn-based games, like Civilization, you have your go, and you can spend hours having your go, and then you pass it on to the next person.
Right.
They go. Asynchronous, apparently, well, this is what I got from it, I hope this is right, is that everybody puts in their moves at the same time, and it's like simultaneous... movements. It works it out. I mean, yeah, in the old days it would have been a game like Diplomacy.
Right.
Can we tell you a little bit about the game that we've designed?
Yeah.
And maybe you could give us some hints on how to make it into a better game. So, again, I said this so many times on the show today, but we were basing the game, we set ourselves a task to invent a genre because we want to help the industry grow. I know, no big deal.
Yeah,
but we think we've done something. We've taken the world of mining games, very, very popular right now, a little bit mined out.
Yeah.
I just came up with that. And we've turned it on its head, and we've made a burying game.
Made a what?
A burying game, where you bury things.
Yeah, okay. How come you deflected that at me? Is there anything you see, or what?
Well, no, because you're burying people who are killed in first-person shooter games, you see.
Right.
So it's a bit of an art game. It's a bit of comment on the industry.
Think about it.
It could be good.
Yeah.
It dives into all sorts of other games that are played and comes out with
exactly,
the art.
Exactly, it's moving. Think about all those lives lost.
Yeah.
But are there any sort of themes from the conference that we should be looking to apply? Because obviously we're starting development of this now, and we think it could take up to 6 weeks for us to finish.
It's got as long as that.
I know.
Exactly.
I know. Well, it's our first game.
A simple idea.
I know. So
it's a different industry, this. Isn't it?
So we have to plan for the future.
Yeah.
You know, and,
well, and people will
I
die
have
in
an
the
idea
future.
If you,
yeah.
Okay.
If you don't mind. Which is, you know, obviously you want multiplayer with everything nowadays. Mm-hmm. So all the people in the first-person shooter that you bury should... you could also have a necromancer as well who goes around and revives them. And so then they become zombie players that you're constantly trying to bury them as they're constantly trying to come back up.
A resurrection game.
Yes.
Maybe we could sell that as an add-on.
Yes.
Or
DLC.
Or microtransactions per resurrection.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. There we go.
Or maybe if you had a favourite character from your own game, you could pay to have him resurrected. Yeah.
We're going to have to take this discussion off
that. It's too hot for me.
We need to quickly get the barium.xxx domain and then
This has already been outsourced.
Well, Martin Hollis has rolled up to us in laconic style.
So this seems like an appropriate time to end the show.
It does seem.
Our last show of GDC. Thank you for joining us, Martin.
Martin,
have a few final words for our final show. Sum up the conference.
Sum up the conference in 10 seconds. It's extremely tiring and incredibly energizing.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
I think that's it.
That's it.
We've had the best time at GDC.
Really good, yes.
We should thank all of our guests, not just from today, but all of our guests from the whole 3 days that we've been doing this from. Yep. They've all been brilliant. And we...
our current guests, Martin, Brandon, Simon, Steve Jackson. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
And thank you so much to GDC for having us.
Yes.
And letting us be quite bad.
And I'd also like to say thank you to the One Life Left team for putting on so many shows of such incredible quality.
You're welcome, Martin.
Thanks. Right, we'll see you next year. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
One Life Left was a production for Resonance 104.4 FM, the best radio station in the world. We're One Life Left. We were executively produced by Chris Graft.